The entire medical team at the Mayo Clinic was unanimous in their assessment. There was no path of comfort. The team proposed a massive and radical surgery called the Whipple Plus. The Whipple would remove the mush of what was left of my duodenum, the bile and pancreatic ducts, the head of the pancreas, the surrounding lymph nodes, the gallbladder, and maybe more, depending on what they found when they cut me open. The Plus would remove 60% of my liver, but only half of the cancer, with plans to come back for the rest later. The doctors were incredibly upbeat, but they offered more conditions and caveats than a car commercial. Forget the cancer. The surgery alone would result in months of severe physical disability, an overnight change in lifestyle, eating, activity, leisure, work, social interaction, and just as much cancer left inside my body as the doctors planned to take out. The doctors on my Mayo surgical team performed 5 Whipples per week, but they didn't conceal their inexperience with the Whipple Plus or sugarcoat its risks. With the surgery, I might die soon, they said. Without the surgery, I would die soon. It wasn't a hard decision for me. If I was going down, I would go down fighting. When an army is about to go on the offensive, there is nothing more motivating than a rousing set of remarks from the commanding officer. I decided to rally my small army of supporters in the same way. The inspiration for what to write came to me one morning just as I opened my eyes. By 0600, I was feverishly typing out my own adaptation of General George Patton's remarks to the 3rd U.S. Army on the eve of D-Day, the largest invasion in world history. My rally read, in part, "At ease," which means listen up. "Now I want you to remember that no bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor, dumb bastard die for his country. Family, friends, all this stuff you've heard about cancer always winning the fight is a lot of horse dung. You know, by God, I actually pity those poor cancer cells we're going up against. By God, I do. We're going to murder those lousy bastards by the bushel. 30 years from now, when you're sitting around your fireside with my grandchild on your knee, and he or she asks you what I did in the year 2010, you won't have to say, 'Well, he sat around and felt sorry for himself in Minnesota.' All right now, you sons of bitches, you know how I feel. Be strong with me. Fight with me. Oh, and I would be proud to lead you wonderful guys into battle. Anytime, anywhere. That is all." It was not lost on me that Patton had survived a 36-year Army career and 2 world wars, only to suffer an inglorious death from injuries sustained in a car accident 4 months after the end of the war. Now it looked as if I might survive combat and 21 years in the Army, only to succumb to cancer at age 39. War speeches may sound great to adults, but they don't play so well with children. When deciding how and what to tell you boys about the cancer, we decided early on, if you were expected to endure the crash landing, you had better be on board for takeoff. Bad news does not get better with time. Sooner or later, the people you know and love are going to find out. Who do you want them to hear it from? You or someone else? And if they hear it from someone else, what are the chances your bad news becomes something worse? As in, why would you keep something this important from me? Keeping things quiet until we had more information was not an option for us, because the information was floating on Facebook like a stray bullet. Thankfully, Joshua and Noah were only 10 years old and had no cell phone or computer. And Matthew, you were in New Mexico at the Philmont Boy Scout camp, where there was no reception. We needed to get to you before the news did, but not before you finished your camp. Philmont is a rite of passage for scouts, and you were only a day or two from completing it as a 14-year-old. You had already hiked 75 miles and 7 mountain peaks, with 8,000 to 9,000 foot elevation, with a 50-pound pack over 11 days, every single day in some rain, and 3 full days in rain and fog. The last thing I wanted you to hear as you reveled in this amazing achievement was an accidental, "Hey, sorry about your dad," from one of your comrades or scout leaders. My deployment provided a perfect cover story, and I swear I could hear the theme song to Mission Impossible in the background as we went to work. We ensured you were whisked away as soon as you came off the trail, and then we disabled your phone and shut down your Facebook page. With all you boys home, and with a diagnosis and plan in hand for what would come next, we broke the news. In reflecting upon what and how much to share, it was helpful to remind ourselves that entire books had been written on this subject. We knew we had to separate the things that needed to be addressed now from the things that could be addressed later.